Chanel Cornwell, comprehensive plan update.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm here this morning to provide an update on where we are with the comprehensive plan. As you know, the last comprehensive plan was adopted in 2008. State law requires it to be adopted every 10 years. We are currently on track to get it approved and adopted by June of 2018. There are 12 required chapters in the comprehensive plan. The staff is working on 11 of those chapters. The mobility chapter will be done in coordination with DLDOT and the staff, and they have hired a consulting firm to work on that chapter. The county has hired McCormick Taylor as the consultant to work on the comprehensive plan for this plan. There is a schedule. It was included in your packet, and if not, I have copies if you'd like. It goes through where we are currently. There are four different phases, four different sections. The first one is A, which is identifying opportunities. That's really data gathering. That's going to take about 6 months. We started in April is when the notice to proceed was issued to McCormick Taylor. So we're just getting data. We've been providing them with GIS data, providing them with population information, and then we've also started doing some focus groups just to meet with stakeholders regarding specific chapters, just again to get data back. At the end of that session, late summer, early fall, we'll actually be having one of our first of three rounds of public meetings. And those you can see at the bottom. And you can see in Task A, we've got focus groups, and then each of those is where we're going to be having public meetings. Task two is visioning and development framework. That's going to happen after we do all of our outreach for the first round and get the information. It's like what's been going on, which is what we're doing now for the last 10 years. The consultant's going to go work, take that data back, come up with some ideas of where, what they've heard and from those meetings and kind of come up with ideas to move forward. After that, we will again go back out to the public, get their reactions, and then task three is actually the draft plan, which means staff will be in front of you a lot more often as well as the planning commission to make sure it's like, okay, you're seeing chapters, you're seeing information, because we're going to want input and feedback. And then the final task D is the final plan, and at that point there will be a public hearing before everybody for hopefully adoption of the plan. So as part of the comprehensive plan, public outreach is very important. So again, we're having some focus groups. We held three in the last week. There will be also public meetings. We're going to be doing three sets of public meetings. There'll be one at the end of each phase. There'll be five different ones. So three sets of meetings, five different places, one in each council district. So there'll be a total of 15 public meetings. And again, the first one should be late summer, early fall. We're also going to have a website dedicated specifically to the comprehensive plan that should be up in August. The consultant is currently working on that. And we'll also be having social media. We'll have a Facebook page and Twitter so people can, we're taking additional outreach steps to get that. We're also on the website, we'll have ability for people to sign up to get email blasts. So when we have like a public meeting coming up, or we have a release of something, we'll send out to everybody who signed up, and we're going to push out information through that as well. We're also going to have, other communications, other ways for people to get a hold of information, press releases, of course, when we do public meetings. So the next steps, again, we're still in phase one. We're still in data collection, still data gathering. The website is currently under development. We've held three focus groups. They were last week: housing, utilities, and economic development. We're looking to potentially have additional focus groups. One would be conservation and then transportation. And then, of course, we'll be having stakeholder meetings. The consultant will be meeting either one-on-one or phone interviews with with members of the Planning Commission, and if you so choose, they would definitely be interested in talking and scheduling phone interviews or one-on-one personal interviews with council members. If you would like, just let me know, and I will pass your contact information on to them. So ways you can help, definitely, you know, get the word out, especially once the website is launched. Please just send everybody to the website, because we'll be taking comment through the website as well. Definitely, if you want to show up in meetings and if you want to be one of those stakeholder meetings, please let us know, and we'll be bringing Ken back, you know, late summer, you know, next year, winter next year, yes.
When you say how you can help, you mean us? Us, or you mean just the general public?
Everyone.
Okay.
Everyone.
Okay.
How everyone can help.
I'm just checking.
But for you to get the word out.
Well, I didn't know if you wanted me to do those four things, start running.
Yeah.
If you would like to, you know, when you meet with constituents and let them know that, hey, the comp plan's coming up and we're getting the word out and letting them know, they can definitely, you know, there'll be meetings and they can go to the website. That would be wonderful. And then definitely you're going to be providing input on the land use changes and the development trends and then reviewing the plans. So if you have any questions.
Well, it's certainly very important, I think, that we have the public with as much input as they want.
Yes.
After all, it is their plan.
Absolutely.
It is their county. It is their whatever. So, yeah. Mr. Cole.
Just a question would be the public meeting schedule you showed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like just three. That's kind of basically the minimum at this point. The council could always determine that because of, you know, issues as we generate this plan, we could have more, right?
If you so choose, you could.
That's what I say, we can always schedule more.
Yes. But as it was laid out at the last comprehensive plan, there were only two sets of meetings. Mm-hmm. We're actually taking that extra step, adding a third one. And then we have the website and social media and other ways for people to get content.
But we do have that flexibility that we see need.
Anything else from council?
Yes.
What's a focus group?
Focus group is just a group of the stakeholders. For example, for economic development, we went to CDAC. So we just wanted to focus on economic issues that were going on in the county. So we got a group of people together that were focused on economic development or people who are in the housing field. Getting those together so we could have a discussion about what's been going on.
Who selects them? Who selects them?
The consultant provided a list, and then we sent those lists out to the department heads.
The consultants that work for us.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
They provided a list. We sent those out to the department heads because I am not a housing person, so I sent that out to our community development, and then I sent it out to the engineering department, and I sent it out to the economic development manager, and they reviewed those lists, added people, so they felt would be the proper people to invite to those meetings.
Okay, well, so it's decided by a number of different
absolutely
folks and areas. I just wanted to, I'm not familiar. When I hear focus group, I think, oh yeah, government talk, and I really don't know what you mean. So I do now. thank you. We're not having hearings, like go around the county like we did last time?
Yes, those are the three sets of public meetings.
That's it?
Well, there are three different times we're going to go out into five different locations. So there'll be a total of 15 public meetings for this comprehensive plan.
We haven't had public events. Are we not going to have a booth about this?
A booth?
A desk, yeah.
Where?
Any of these public events.
Like what?
Well, the county has events. You know, for instance, we have the events out at the airport, and we need to get this word out to people, because I can guarantee you, I've been through planning and zoning in my personal life, and I moved here. It took me a long time to even figure out what is a county council, what do they do, because most people come in that way. Really, I'm serious. You need to spread the word.
Yeah, that is our intent, and that is why we've asked Planning Commission to get the word out to people they know, for the council to get the word out. And then again, we're going to have social media, we're going to have a website, and we're definitely going out. When we do schedule those public meetings, they will be noticed, and I'm hoping they will be noticed so that you could not miss it. And if you can't attend, we will also have different forms of ways for people to communicate and get their comments back to the...
Following up, and maybe just something to do, is there like maybe a brochure that we could put together, that we could put in libraries and we could distribute different places, that would put out a schedule and kind of, you know, where we're going and the time frame and what what people can do, like you say, to get involved.
I was actually thinking of putting out a comment form at the library so people could fill out comments and then they could get them back to us.
Maybe somebody could get on, like I said, something glossy, something that people would pick up.
We can look into that, definitely.
Send it to clubs and stuff like that.
Has anybody suggested that we coordinate development with adequate public facilities, services?
That might come up.
That's quite possible that they could come up in one of the meetings and from the public.
Oh, you would want the public to suggest it?
Well, you can have suggestions, but
right.
I have not heard that from
are you talking
from
to
the
citizens?
Housing department yet.
Are you talking to citizens that live here?
Yes. Anybody who's living here, you know, builders, developers.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
The private
public. I know how they feel.
Are definitely, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for comments on any topic.
We
know
them pretty well.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. This is the fastest growing county in state. The development dollars that come in on RTT is amazing compared to the other two counties. We are really growing, and I think we deserve a lot of attention to be paid to this. We're the grower. Thank you. I'm
glad
you're
here. Council, Mr. Arlett.
Yes. Would you mind go back a few slides here? I think it was one, let's see here. I think it was this one right there. Yep, the focus groups. So first off, I was not even aware of any focus groups going on as far as when and where and who is involved. So because that's something I think is you mentioned that the consultant was the one who came up with the recommendation as far as who should be in these focus groups.
And then we sent out that to the department heads to verify, make sure that the list was complete.
So a couple of thoughts / concerns. Number one, what does the code say as it relates to this land use plan? I mean, if I'm not mistaken, it's the commission, correct, who is to direct this per the code? Could you elaborate on what the code says?
The code says that the state code says that it is the planning commission's plan.
Right.
For the county.
So with that being said, because it's written in code, I would encourage that, and maybe they are, maybe they aren't, I don't know, I'm not on the commission, that they seek input and advice from the commission.
Absolutely. We have been...
Most importantly, because in the end, it's per the code, it is their land use plan that we end up approving, or not approving, but in the end, you know, versus having a consultant, you know, that's not living here, that's not working here, that's not, you know, from here. To me, I think it's very relevant to make sure that the direction is coming from the commission, because that's the code. I mean, that's state law. Number two would be, you know, these focus groups. Again, where is the private sector? Is the private sector involved in these focus groups?
Yes, they are.
You say stakeholders. So are those the ones that have been at the last three meetings? Housing, could you be more specific as far as who is in these focus groups?
There are a range of state agencies, private
like who?
Entities.
Give me names. And how many people? And I mean, who?
For the utilities, Delmarva Power was there. The Delaware Electric Co-op was there.
Tidewater, maybe?
Tidewater was there. Artesian was there. The, you know, of course, the engineering department was there. There were several folks, because utilities covered a gambit. It covered electric, it covered, there was a invite to the natural gas, but they weren't able to make it. We invited electric, we invited water utilities, and then we also looked at stormwater, because that is also part of a utility. So there were several people from the Sussex Conservation District there, a couple of people from DENREC. So there was a broad range of members there.
But how is the private sector being included in these focus groups? Because you say all stakeholders. I would think the general public is inclusive of that.
Right. We actually had members of the public sitting at the meetings.
Observing again, or participating?
Observing, and at one point they did participate in the economic development. Because, again, the focus group is to hear from the stakeholders. And then once we get that, then we'll be going out to the public to then get their input. But the public is definitely more than welcome to the focus groups, but the intent of the focus group is to hear from those people dealing with those, with utilities, what's been going on with them. So we have an idea of what has been happening in the utility department.
So you'll have a summary of, like, say, the economic development focus group summary.
We will.
You have a summary of their comments, and then that will be something that the public can easily read, a document that, say,
yes,
a focus group on public utilities, they can look at what the summary is of that, And then maybe they can base their comments when they have the big public hearings referencing economic development, these other things. But I don't know, Rob, when you're trying to get input from a certain sector, we need their expert opinion on what they think the needs are, say, from Delmarva Power or the co-op. What are the needs when it comes to, you know, central water
right.
being provided?
I just
don't know where the public, I mean, the public's just going to argue that the rates are too high or this or that or whatever.
Sure. No, focus, I mean, it's all important, as you know. I mean, it's
Absolutely.
Important. It's very vital to get sure, you know, make sure we have, as you say, the stakeholders involved. I just want to make sure we know who the stakeholders are and that the commission is agreeable and has agreed to that and provided it as a recommendation or perhaps is even approved of these stakeholders. Because I think, again, it is relevant to have all the players involved. I just want to make sure that we're not excluding any. That's all. And the commission is fully on board, again, because per the code, it is their land use plan that they're presenting. And so I just wanted to reiterate the importance of that and that we don't have a consultant that's not from here, that does not live here, does not work here, is driving it versus the commission should be driving this per the code.
That is how we are proceeding.
Yeah. Under the code, when the Planning and Zoning Commission brings forward a plan, we don't look at it and say we either accept it or reject it. I mean, we have the same public hearings at the county level, correct?
Correct.
And then we make the decision, and we can change.
Correct.
All that, right. So it's similar to what we do now with every individual application.
Yes, it is.
Similar problem.
We change some laws.
It's an ordinance.
Right.
Yeah.
It becomes an ordinance.
It would be adopted
once we adopt it,
ordinance.
And we can,
yeah.
we can change it as we, based on information
right.
we've gotten or whatever.
So with that being, and the last point, Mr. President, and that is, as again, you know, as we move forward, I would like to be aware of what meetings are going on at all times, really, and who's there. As we move forward, I think full transparency, whether or not the public, again, I don't know what the rules are or how it should be at some point in time for it to be public. But, I mean, there are meetings going on right now that we're not aware of, that I'm not aware of, and who's there and what's the conversations, and is somebody taking minutes of these meetings?
Yes, there were at least three different people taking minutes, including myself.
Okay.
The consultant is getting those minutes put together, and then we're going to be providing them to the Planning Commission, so
okay.
they have the ability to review, and if you so choose, we can provide it to the council
you
as well.
All that.
Oh, absolutely.
And you get the P&Z give to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And okay.
And then you mentioned earlier also if we want to be part of a future dialogue or whatever, I would say yes.
Yes.
Right.
I just
yes.
wanted to ask before
so,
I
yes.
sent out information to the consultant.
Sure. I think as the elected officials of the county, I think it's relevant that we'd certainly be involved as much as we were able to do so.
Yeah, I have a question too. Stakeholder, how do you decide how much stake a person holds?
I'm sorry?
You're inviting stakeholders. How do you decide who's got more stake? Number of acres owned?
Spell the word stake.
Number of acres owned or... the size of the business or income, how do you judge? Well, how do you know? I mean, you know, what is a stakeholder
I think
in your business there?
How many years of venture?
No, we can't do that.
I didn't hear that.
For us, it was who were the major players typically in that field. So in housing, it was definitely the State Housing Authority. There were
government people.
No, not all government people. There was definitely somebody there from the manufactured home community because we have a lot of manufactured
business
homes.
People.
We correct. It's,
yeah,
it's a
but
broad
range. Not the people that live in those manufactured homes. Just
no.
The,
that's what the public meeting would be for. Is then to get.
Oh,
them
you mean
out.
Later on?
Yes.
So you're just gathering information.
We're just
from businesses and government right now.
And other stakeholders, yes.
Other
we
stakeholders.
Will go back out then to the public to hear from them.
This is under state law. Is that right?
That we have, yes, the state law requires a comprehensive plan.
It was going to be every 5 years.
It was.
And when it was changed and lobbied up to 10 years. And this district, this county here should never have been a 10-year renewal. Anyway, I'm just making you acquainted with what I've been through with this.
We're Democrats.
This has to be signed by a governor.
Correct.
There was a big problem last time. Governor didn't want to sign it. Very, it's just not an easy thing here we're doing.
No, that's why we thought we'd take a proactive approach, try to talk to the focus groups, try to get information from everybody involved.
Yeah. And what are we going to do about the AR1 zoning all over this county?
That is something we will definitely look into. That could something potential changes again
well,
based
I
on.
See a, I want to see a study of what we could grow if all those acres were developed like that. Is it how many millions of you know there is a study in about that. If it's all developed the way it's zoned, is that going to happen?
I don't expect that to happen, but
I hope so.
Different things can happen. You know, again, the comprehensive plan is looking towards the year 2045. So we were planning for multiple years. A comprehensive plan is never a 5-year plan. It's never a 10-year plan. It's usually a 15, 20-year plan, and we're going out to the 20-year, 2020. We're going out to 2045.
What good would that do us now? We will have a need for ordinances, but as we go along, county ordinances. Yeah, but you're just looking at the state requirements. But it does have to be signed by the governor.
Yes, it does.
Okay. And is there what are the county code requirements on our end of it? Where can I find that in the code? Where can I find that in the code?
I don't know off the top of my head. I don't have my...
Is it in there?
I believe the process is in there, and then...
Okay. The state decides a lot of things, too. They used to have a big meeting with the lieutenant governor and all that to look at ours, to look at the three different county plans. But that's ruled out now, as far as I know, state-wise.
Well, it'll have to go through the state plus process.
Yes.
And then it'll go through the cabinet committee,
okay,
and then it should be signed
by
the governor.
Okay. Again, I'm glad to know about this, because I had that district that's very upset with the way we're developing. We're developing too fast. And I'm glad you're here. Please keep us advised.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
I just have a final suggestion,
Mr. Cole.
And follow up on Mr. Arlette, that who just entered the room, is concerned about the public. Anyway, if you could possibly maybe post when you're having these focus groups on our website and say that the public is welcome to attend, and at the end of each of the focus group meetings, open it up for some general comments from whoever wants to attend so that we don't have to handpick some public individual to attend anything, but the public would be welcome to invite to be attend, and then they can comment at the end, and then it can be part of your notes. Notes, your summary could be the focus group, and then some general comments from the public, and then boom, and post it, and then everybody would know. I'm like Rob, I didn't know we were having focus groups, and maybe I haven't really focused in on it because I'm not part of a focus group. We're unfocused.
You didn't get invited.
Right, Ben? We're unfocused up here.
Anything else from council?
Yes, I think we are very focused, these five. So, all right, on the agenda.
Moving right along.
You just
next,
wait.
Next, Mrs. Cornwell, and this is a favorite subject of mine, so thank you very much.
While we're waiting for Mrs. Cornwell.
Talking about his grandkids again.
This is, as Mr. Vinson has related, this is a request that has come from council over a number of times to have staff review and look at the current county code as it relates to commercial zoning. Mm-hmm. After several months worth of work and information gathering, we have come together with today's presentation, which is just an overview of where we are today and where we intend to go.
Yeah, the former planners recommended specific changes to our commercial zone. That was when? 2008 or something?
2 years back.
Well, we're there. We're going to start talking about it. So.
We're there.
The darn Democrats didn't do anything about it.
Thank you, George.
So good morning again. I've brought Kyle LeBronson from AECOM. He's our consultant working on with the staff to look at the commercial zoning. There is definitely, as your discussion was, that there have been discussions about potentially looking at updating the commercial zoning districts. So I'm going to turn it over to Kyle, and we're going to get started.
Okay. As Janelle had mentioned, a working group has been put together that consists of Janelle, myself, Mr. Robertson, Mr. Lawson, and Mr. Lank to look at the county's commercial zoning districts. What we've heard is that one of the issues that we have with the current situation, we only have a couple commercial zoning districts, is there seems not to be any predictability within the current situation. There are too few commercial zone categories, too many permitted uses within those categories, mm-hmm. and sort of a one-size-fits-all approach to commercial development. And sort of the example that I like to use when I'm talking about this is that someone comes into you and requests a rezoning saying they want to build a donut store.
Right.
5 years later on that same property, you have a site plan for a new automobile dealership. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the intensity of uses are sort of that one-size-fits-all approach. You really don't know what could happen on that property. And that's kind of what the approach we've taken and how we've looked into that.
In my time here, the people I represent have not understood that, or even the publisher of the newspaper did not know that.
Uh-oh.
We're talking, we didn't know it. So mm-hmm. we need some transparency.
Right. So what we currently have, you have four zoning categories, one of which is a closed category, which is the C1 commercial district. You have the urban business district, which I don't believe is even used at
use
all in the county, which was supposed to be sort of a transitional district between a municipality and the county, that land in between where there should be maybe some shared discussion about what happens there, but that really has never happened. The neighborhood business district, which is supposed to be your smaller scale neighborhood type service uses, and the commercial residential district, which in your code
Ooh.
Is your catch 22, catch everything
wow.
zone. As you can see, the amount of uses in the CR1 district, there's 110 permitted uses in that district.
mm. So just to reiterate that, somebody presents us something, And we vote on it. There's 109 other options that they could do.
Bingo.
Yes.
Correct.
And
right?
Just
to reiterate the importance of doing this is that.
And they're permitted uses, meaning that they have the right to develop that use.
Sure.
And they'll come in here often with a beautiful picture of their design of what they're going to build. And everybody looks at it and thinks it's wonderful. It has nothing to do with what might happen.
Yeah.
Really.
And contract zoning is illegal, so you can't tell them what they are going to build
there.
Well,
see, you know those laws. Good for you.
Yes. So what we've done, trying to find a solution for this one-size-all approach, we've come up with a very in-draft recommendation. We're looking for feedback today and how we should proceed. But we definitely know that there needs to be more commercial zoning categories. And the way to get some predictability is to have more zoning categories with fewer permitted uses within each one.
Yeah.
So that someone comes to you and says, I want to do X, you're pretty much guaranteed that what you're going to get is something similar to what they're proposing, not something totally different 5 years later. So what we've come up with, and again, this is rough in a draft, we think the neighborhood business district, those uses should be narrowed down some more. So if they are true neighborhood service, small-scale businesses, a medium commercial district.
That touches a lot of my district. Thank you.
Right. A medium commercial district, say a C2 district, which has a smaller amount of permitted uses, a heavy commercial district for the more intensive uses, a service or limited manufacturing commercial, a regional commercial, and a professional office district. And each one of these commercial districts, the level of intensity increases as you go up the scale. Lower service industries, retail in the lower districts. You know, we have issues with breweries and brew pubs and distilleries, and where does that fine line sort of catch? As you go up the scale, those intensities increase. One of the things that we also thought would be important is a professional office district for large-scale office development. We really don't have a category in this county for that type, professional research type industry. We thought it might be a good...
Bring jobs?
Bring new jobs, yes. Might be a good category for us. There's also talk about an additional district, an institutional zone, if you will. That would be a zone for schools, government buildings, hospitals, convalescent centers, those types of uses.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, schools can be placed almost anywhere in the county, and this would give them a home, if you will, for that type of development.
Now, are we going to attach anything to all these categories as to what the requirements will be as far as roads and schools and, well, the things that we have to provide, fire department, police, and that type of thing?
We could. One of the things that we've talked about is that, you know, if we're trying to get scale correct, you know, from the smaller uses to the larger uses,
right.
Part of this discussion as we develop it will be differences in bulk standards.
We could do that here.
Caps on certain size buildings, mm-hmm. caps on how many acres can be developed.
Thank George for the height limit. Thank you.
So, but I think this is a good path forward. I think
it's important. Things like that are important to what we look at.
And I think it's beneficial for everyone because everyone wants predictability. Developers want predictability. They want to know what the requirements are, how they proceed. And I think by having these more specialized zoning categories, everyone will know the rules up front. You'll know what's going to actually be developed on that property. I think
you probably get more approvals for business. And
well,
I think
you know,
we know what we're doing.
Yeah, conceivably, it could speed up the approval process because you know what you're voting on.
Yes.
So
can I ask a question maybe?
Sure.
Mr. Cole.
On those categories that you, on this piece of paper, mm-hmm. Is there a correlation somehow with traffic counts? I think most people are concerned about the use and the amount of traffic it's going to generate because of whatever. I mean, it could be residential neighborhood, or it's on a road, it's already got traffic issues.
Right.
So is there any kind of a connection to the list in each of these categories? Like, I'm thinking the convenience store with gas and coffee and stuff, you know, that we see, I won't name any names, but we get them, and they are... It can be the busiest place in a small town. A fast food of others, and they all seem to, and the theory is, like if you put one, you put another one, that they develop the traffic patterns for that type of use. So they like to get together. So those sometimes, I think, generate more of the ire with people.
Right.
As opposed to other maybe critical things. I mean, it's all important, and I understand what you're doing here, but is there a connection with traffic counts and Jeff?
We haven't gotten that far yet. That's something
with,
we could...
With the uses. Like I said, some of these uses could shift to different things because, like I said, restaurant food service could be a category and convenience store because, again, these are really traffic generators. Small shopping centers versus... at the outlet mall of a certain square footage size. We had the big box stuff looking at years ago. So
we haven't gotten that
get to
far
that kind
yet,
of detail.
But
yeah,
that's
thank
something
you.
That
but
we can tie into it. And one of the districts, the C3 district, we have that as sort of an auto-oriented district. Uses are going to generate a lot of traffic.
I saw that, right.
And affect the soil, too.
Right. So that's something we can move into as we move on. And again, the adequate public facilities ordinances, if we go in that direction,
well, some
that
of
would
this
be tied
George is talking about
well.
Can be done without trying to come up with ratios and figuring all the numbers and coming up with some kind of grand, you know what I'm saying? That's practical.
I mean, we could look at ADT requirements for certain uses and group them appropriately.
Yeah.
But like I said, this is really pretty rough. We haven't gotten that far into the process.
And of course,
yet.
If DLDOT doesn't say anything back to us, we're helpless. Really.
Yeah, unfortunately, DLDOT sort of calls the shots because we're using their roads. So that's.
But they also have in their regulations. They have things. They know what types of stores generate, or types of businesses generate a certain amount of traffic.
Yes.
Right.
They already have that. So I'd love to see a correlation between that and what we do possibly.
Okay.
And the other thing is just we did, I think, Jeanette Lawrence, didn't we do something with big box stores years ago? That
you did it.
We argued to do something that once they kick into a certain size, certain things change. A big box store can have a different impact than obviously other types of things.
It's been several years ago the ordinance was amended to include references to the big box and for limitations in the B1 not to exceed 75,000 square foot. And then in the commercial C1 to C2, can go larger.
Mm-hmm. Right, but then
it has criteria.
We had added like parking, more buffers or something like that, right? Greater setbacks, I think, Vincent. Okay, is there, I think a big box is a separate little, should be a category in its own. And I don't care if it's a Target or a Lowe's, if they, a store of a certain size on an intersection can have a dramatic impact over other things.
Yeah, that's
so
sort
that's
of,
a thought for you.
That's sort of how we are thinking. We've got very rough maximum size categories in each of these zones. The C5, the C4 regional commercial would be the zone that the big box stores would go into. And as we refine this and go back through the process, a lot of the issues right. that you're referring to.
And we're not going to, we're not going to take our county map and make all these zones. We're not going to, what we're going to do is somebody would have to come in and apply for that zone.
Yeah.
So none of these zones exist.
Right.
But if you want to do this particular use, you would have to.
You would apply for the
You would apply,
category.
Have the map, zoning map changed to accommodate it, but then there'd be certain things you'd have to, requirements.
Right.
To make it so that, that. Intersection or
yeah, and the good thing is we're starting this conversation about the same time the comprehensive plan is
right.
starting.
Oh, no, it's
so
perfect.
When
perfect time.
They're discussing land use changes,
we can
hopefully
look into
we
it.
Can incorporate where we decide to go with this into the comp plan so it's all concise and coordinated.
Where I live, folks get upset because it's environmentally sensitive in my district.
Mm-hmm.
And then the old county said, you will make it environmentally sensitive developing districts. And it was a bad thing, according to the people. How do we, are we going to protect environmentally sensitive zones or not?
Well, I think that will come through the comprehensive planning
I'm
process.
Hoping we'll hear
I mean,
things
we
about that
seem to
in
do
the comprehensive.
Much. I mean, you know that more than I do.
Yeah, the county code has very little environmental regulations.
Right, but they call it that.
It is called the environmentally sensitive
like
developing areas.
Oh,
that is the land use classification.
It. That just makes it sound like we're going to protect all the you know all the issues, all the environmental issues, which is what people come here for.
One last point for me that will be sunsetting. I know that it would be nice that, and that's part of the problem we've had when things get zoned, something doesn't happen and 20, 30 years go by, then all of a sudden, boom, nobody had any idea it was,
right.
it was that way. Sunsetting ought to be something that should be at least debated by this group.
Oh.
And then redevelopment, you, for instance, like where the outlet malls are today,
mm-hmm.
there was a time when we used to have a Kmart or something, and then now it's a bunch of townhouses. So we're seeing redevelopment of commercial property back to residential.
Right.
In the past, we're not seeing it much now, but at one time, residential became, you know, a hotter thing on the market than whatever. There ought to be some way that's not automatic that they can do that.
Okay.
Possibly
we can look into
sunsetting provisions. When you eliminate some of this commercial areas, where you have to recreate it somewhere else because and maybe the most appropriate place was where the Kmart was for. Commercial
right.
and not residential.
And yeah. I would envision in the Route 1 corridor that's pretty much maxed out as it is now, redevelopment's going to be the issue there.
That's
going to,
exactly. So
right.
I don't know how we can incorporate that in there, but I'm sure you guys can.
Need to make sure we have the right zoning tools so we can handle
it. But sunsetting,
that.
I think, is a good tool.
Oh, yeah.
You come in, you tell us you're going to do something, you don't do it, it ought to revert back and not stay there permanently forever.
Right.
Yeah, some folks like to make changes quietly with the Planning and Zoning Commission, and people don't know about it. Not good. Help me out with something.
Mm-hmm.
I live on Plantation Road, and a lot of people are new on Plantation Road. They've come into these new developments, and a lot of them are retirees, and they're talking about this being their final home.
Mm-hmm.
And they take a lot of pride, and they're very concerned. They think that they have a right to keep it residential up and down that road. You know. They buy thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't so.
Well, just tell them where their home is sitting used to be a cornfield or a soybean field, and we didn't. You know,
well, you know what I mean. They come and they don't want to be one use of any kind on their road
right.
because it's residential. There's nothing we have that makes that road residential,
mm-hmm.
is there? So, I mean, are we, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying?
Well, maybe that's another exercise at another time once we get through the commercial districts.
For people to know,
districts, is
if
like
you
were
buy
saying,
in Sandy Bray, that it might be a big office building across the street from you, and this is going to be a big fuss, maybe we could have that knowledge beforehand.
Well, an educated consumer is always the best.
Where do you get them?
So,
realtors.
No,
the
local,
realtors.
You know, people have been here for a long time. They know that. It's these new people coming in.
It is.
Know,
and
like
we
yourself.
Have, and we bring a lot of money.
But you know, that's an issue everywhere. That's just not a Sussex County issue.
It's not. That's a nationwide issue.
That's a nationwide issue.
Is it really?
It is.
Well, that's what I need to know.
It takes us years to educate.
It's tough to deal with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else from council?
The only thing I can really say, if those people move in that wants to build a houses, if they want a larger, bigger piece of land around, they ought to go buy it. Just trying to think somebody make a little steal it for them.
You know, I think we should encourage hydroponic farming. It won't take up so much of the land.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I grew up in mushroom country, and everybody wants to live in mushroom country until they start smelling the
mushrooms.
The mushrooms. So, you know, it's.
Or the cow manure.
Yeah.
Anything else from council? We're good.
I just was going to have two questions. I've been enjoying the conversation, I will say.
You have.
But looking at the agenda and looking at the time, it's that we're running out of time for certain based on that agenda. Just two questions. Number one is if I heard you correctly, because if we were to move forward with this, currently we have the CR1, obviously, zone. If anybody wanted to do anything on that property moving forward, they would be forced to get a change of zone, because that zone doesn't exist anymore. Is that correct?
Well, the CR1 would be a closed zone. It would function like the C1. It exists, but you could not rezone to it. So if you wanted to, if you had, you
know, in other words, is it grandfathered? I guess is my question.
Right. Similar to that.
Yes.
Okay. So that answers that question. Number two is a timeline. Do we have any thoughts of what your aspiration is to get through this in a timeline, 6 months, a year, 2 years? What are you thinking?
Well, we're kind of looking for some direction from council. I think the next step, and when we've been doing this as a group, I think the next step is to, I'm going to use the word stakeholder again, get some stakeholder input and get input from council. I don't know if the best, and the planning commission as well. So we have to have those conversations. So we're probably... Hopefully we're almost finished with the sign ordinance, so we can move into this. And I would say have something adopted within 6 months.
Okay. I'd be optimistic, but keep tightening it up. I think right now I think there's too much information in front of us.
Yeah.
But as we narrow it down, I think we'll come to it. And then we're working at the same time on the land use plan, which is going to be part of it. So. We really, Rob, I would think the goal would be to make sure that it is done and ready when we have the next land use plan. If we get it done sooner, it'd be great.
Sure.
Well, I'm still getting letters about the sign ordinance, although we had our hearing. It's over and done, closed. But I just wanted to let people know there's a lot of mail coming in against certain kinds of signs.
Okay.
Well, obviously, that, as you said, that record's closed. That
it's closed.
It's in the trash can.
So I can't read the letter.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Well, you can read it.
You read it.
Out loud.
Anything else?
That's all we had.
Thank you so much for your time and patience.
Yeah, keep it up.
Mr. President, I know this is a priority, so we will continue to push forward and get you something in expedited time frame.
Jim Hicken. Georgetown Air Services lease is... Wow, that's a lot of